The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everyone, this is Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Jake Runyon.
And by our powers combined, we are the Canned Air Podcast. But right now you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm the PVD MVP himself, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 170. Man, it feels good to be back in the routine of getting podcast episodes out on Thursdays. I know last week I got back on track, as that was the title of the mini episode, because I had some computer problems, which caused some snafus in the schedule, so to speak. But I'm back here with a great guest, and I'm going to talk about him in a few moments. But I would like to talk real quick about what went on this past weekend. And by that, I mean the fact that I made the trip up to Canton, Ohio to be part of the Dustin Battendorf Invitational, the 7th annual one. That's right, the DBI 7. And for those of you that don't know what that is, because you didn't listen to the last episode, or you've never listened to any of the episodes in which the DBI is featured, well, it's a wrestling event. But all of the money, all of the proceeds go to various different organizations and charities in the upper northeast part of Ohio for drug education, drug resources, drug awareness, help for those who are battling addiction, because addiction impacted the Battendorf family. And so the opportunity for me to go up and lend my talents to such a great event, as I've said many, many times before, is an honor and a privilege. And I was happy to be up there. It was a great show. A lot of people were there at the BABE, the J. Bame Stern Community Center in Canton, Ohio. So it was an excellent, excellent night of professional wrestling. And we raised a lot of money for a good cause, too. So, but while we're talking about wrestling, I need to let you know about a couple of shows that are coming up. The first one I want to talk about is happening November 10th. NOW is back in action. That's right. New Ohio Wrestling is going to be taking place in Grove City, Ohio at the Kickmaster Foot Golf Complex. It's going to be a great night of wrestling. 7 o'clock is when things kick off there. Also happening the same night, November 10th, OCW is back in action. Prepare for Glory. It's an event that's going to be at the Springfield High School in Akron, Ohio. That also kicks off at 7 p.m. So two big events coming up here in the next few weeks. Just want to let you know about it. And now let's talk about my guest that's joining me here on the PBD Cast. Independent comic book creator and the man behind Mystery City Comics and a very unusual title called The Ineffables, Craig Bogart is joining me on this episode of the PVD Cast. The Ineffables is a great comic, but it's very hard to describe. It's as if like maybe you took a little bit of The Twilight Zone, a little bit of The Outer Limits, a little bit of The X-Files, a little bit of Hunter Thompson, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you put it all together in a comic book. And Craig has done a great job with The Ineffables, and it's been an ongoing title for a very, very long time. Craig's been doing this for many a year, and he wanted to come on and talk about that project as well as many other projects that he has in the works. We're going to talk all about his catalog and everything that he has available and the ins and outs of being an independent comic book creator. So it's going to be a really great episode. I think it turned out fantastic. So, but before we get into it, before I throw it to that break that I always do, I want to throw it out there one more time and announce that I am looking for advertisers to come on and work in conjunction with the PVD Cast to advertise a business, a service, whatever. So if you're a mom and pop shop, so to speak, if you are a small independent business in the area, or heck, man, not even in the area, because now with technology, the world is so small. But if you're interested in advertising on the PVD Cast, hit me up. You can drop me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can leave me a message at the Facebook page, facebook.com/pvdcast. You can find me on Twitter, DM me there at PVDMVP. And we'll talk, man. We'll talk. We'll try to come up with something that's going to work for both you and me. Because I'm looking to expand out a little bit. And the more the merrier. But right now, let me tell you about the sponsor of this episode of the PVDcast. And that, of course, is Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, tablet, MP3 player, whatever it is that you use to listen to great books, they have that option for you. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. And I've mentioned many, many times that it doesn't matter what the subject material is, they have a book for it. Whether you're talking about comics or movies or hockey or pro wrestling or whatever, they have a book for you. So to download your free audiobook today, just go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, my conversation with Mr. Craig Bogart. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, I am sitting down here on the PVDcast with Mr. Craig Bogart. Craig, how are you?
I am well. Yourself?
I'm doing well. Folks might know that you are the man behind Mystery City Comics.
That is correct. And particularly a series called The Ineffables.
Correct, which we'll talk quite a bit about. So how long have you been doing Mystery City Comics?
Mystery City Comics? Well, The Ineffables started in 2001.
Okay.
I was originally actually publishing that under Rick's Cafe Publishing, which was a play on my last name, Rick's Cafe being the establishment run by Humphrey Bogart in the movie Casablanca.
I was going to ask that. I thought about that connection, okay. But okay, so so my thoughts were correct. It was a little play on words, huh?
But a few years went by, and enough people thought my name was Rick that I did decide I should change that that name.
Okay, so. Okay. So you're a Columbus native,
yes,
born and raised.
Yep.
So I'm just curious, what's your thoughts, what's your opinions on what makes Columbus such a great city?
For like me particularly and sure. What I do, it's actually really strange. When I was growing up here, I was one of those that, as a kid, I was like counting the days till I could get the heck out of this town. If you go back to like the mid-80s, there actually was very little here. Mm-hmm. But sometime between then and, when I turned 25, just all kinds of things happened here, mm-hmm. as far as, culturally and whatnot. Mm-hmm. More than I can probably speak of with any level of expertise. But for me in particular, when I started doing the self-publishing and, mm-hmm. Making my own comics, mm-hmm. this is a really, really good town for that. There's okay. a lot of shops that go out of their way to support that sort of thing, like particularly the Laughing Ogre and other venues. And it's always been, the home for a couple big conventions each year.
Sure, Space, for an example.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Mid-Ohio Con back in the pre-Wizard days.
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. So it became very hospitable to my particular interests and okay. expressions. So
yeah, and I honestly, I've been here since 97. I'm okay. a transplant, so but even in that short amount of time, I've seen a lot of change within the city, and mm-hmm. I think for me, just my own opinion, I think it's the best big city that also still has that small city feel to it. I really do. Mm-hmm. I've had friends that lived in other metropolitan areas that it's a big city, and man, oh man, it feels like it's a big city. if you catch my drift, yeah. Washington D.C. or Atlanta, are very to me too big for my own liking. Okay. So that's my two cents worth. But we love Columbus, anyways. So growing up, were you a comic book fan?
I was. Yeah.
All right. Who were your favorites?
My favorites. Oh, I was at that age that the Claremont Byrne X-Men hit my sweet spot when yes. I was about 10 years old.
Yes.
Yeah, so those and the Perez Titans.
Okay.
And, you know, I was, you know, 10 or 12 when I was reading Frank Miller's Daredevil, that sort of thing.
Okay. So those were the big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you draw a lot of influence from those comics?
Yeah.
From those creators, I should say?
I admire John Byrne's grasp of linear perspective.
Okay.
And I try to employ that in my own work, although my use of it is... there's a lot of fudging and eyeballing going on, let me put it that way. visually, as an artist, I probably try to draw from John Romita Jr. or mm-hmm. Steve Ditko quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You'd have to judge for yourself how close I come to anything remotely resembling that. But and, of course, there's the liberal dash of Jack Kirby in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just ask real quickly. You originally went to school for art, correct?
I did.
Is that correct? But correct. You didn't find it to be all that it was cracked up to be?
In 1988, 89, I was attending Ohio State University, okay. and I decided, you know, I was going to be an art major.
Okay.
And then move on to the, you know, big comic publishing world from there.
Yeah.
But at that time, if you were an art major, they were funneling you either into painting or sculpture.
Oh.
And those were your options. And okay. you know, I was told that what I wanted to do specifically was not art.
Really?
Really.
Yeah. Wow. You know, you're the second person that has appeared on this podcast that's had that same experience. Ken Epstein, a few episodes ago, you know, mentioned the same thing, that when he was, you know, breaking in and really wanting to express his, you know, his self through comics, he was told the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I just, I guess... Just, I never thought it would be that close-minded, so to speak.
Yeah. It was at the time, anyway. Yeah. I don't know if it's changed since then. I mean, when I was there, they were just beginning their collection at the Wexner.
Okay.
For the comic collection there.
Yeah.
They had just gotten their grant or whatever from the Caniff Estate.
Mm.
So that was just starting to be built there.
Okay.
So I really couldn't tell you how it's changed since
yeah,
then.
No,
That was the environment I was in then.
Yeah, no, and it's definitely from your perspective and from your experiences, you know, that's definitely how we're talking here. So you decided that you didn't want to pursue that anymore.
Yeah, I actually very briefly decided that I was going to switch to art education. I was going to be an art teacher.
Oh, okay.
But after about a year of that, it just... came to the conclusion that it was not suited to my temperament.
I guess.
You know, not to disparage any art teachers I've ever had or anything like that, but I just knew that I was not suited for that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
So I left school and decided I was, you know, going to have whatever my day job was to keep the lights on, and then I was going to make comics in whatever fashion I could.
Right then and there, you decided self-publishing was the way to go.
Yeah. Okay. It was about at that time. Like books like Bone were already, they seemed like a big league book, so I couldn't really relate to that. But Terry Wood's Wandering Star was the self-published book that I latched onto as the model, you know, the example that, yeah, you can do this sort of thing.
Okay. So. All right. Well, you know, we briefly touched about it. Let's talk about your masterpiece, shall we call it? The Ineffables.
If you'd like. That, yeah.
We'll call it that.
All right.
Your masterpiece, The Ineffables. It began in 2001, and can you maybe give the listeners a brief summary of what the book's about?
Oh, that's a hard one.
It is.
Well, I deliberately cast a very wide net with the concept so that I could do just about anything I wanted from issue to issue.
Sure.
It is about a group of very strange beings that investigate strange things, and... I really don't know where to go from there. The leader of the group is a giant Easter Island totem that, you know, rose up out of the earth, and he's like the most brilliant scientist in all of comics.
Named Mason,
named
correct?
Named Mason, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
The viewpoint character is Chet Burnett, who is a crusading fringe journalist with horrible memory problems and his own origin story rooted in the creation of the universe.
Okay.
There's Clarity, who's a sentient work of abstract art.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had two other members. Abraham Lincoln was a member of the group early on, but there came a point where Abraham just became too ubiquitous as the parody fantasy adventure hero.
Okay.
So I traded in. I traded in my presidents, and now the android Ronald Reagan is a member.
Oh. Okay. So. Okay. Why? Now I have to ask. Mm-hmm. Of all the presidents, why Lincoln and why Reagan?
For some reason, they just lend themselves to that sort of fantastic depiction. They have a caricature to themselves already. I guess I should say without
sure.
without any negative connotations of that or anything.
No. I think you're right. Yeah, no. Certainly Lincoln does. I don't know too much about Reagan, but I give you that Lincoln does have that kind of that tongue in cheek kind of parody to him, self parody, if you will, to his character. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. So you've been publishing it from 2001. What issue is the Ineffables on right now?
I have no idea because I quit numbering them at one point.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You'll notice when you're running your table at a comic show or whatever, someone comes along. If you have like number 7 on the cover, they're not going to want to get that book.
Oh, okay.
There's this horrible mindset with readers where if you can't get in on the ground floor, you can't get in at all, basically.
Right.
If I can't get the first one and start from there, I'm not going to read it. So at some point, I was probably around the 5th issue, I quit lettering them. Yeah. Quit numbering them. and each one is just its own self-contained story. You can pick up any of my comics and walk into any of them. And you know they're all their own freestanding thing with their own title and all that. Mm-hmm.
So
I would guess, to answer your question, I would guess I'm around 20 individual stories.
Okay, okay. So about 20 there.
Yeah.
I was going to mention that I found this while doing just a little bit of research in that Columbus Alive named it as one of the 25 most essential Columbus comics. How do you feel about that?
I was very happy about that.
Yeah.
I have two very young daughters, and it was mm-hmm. nice to be able to show them, you know, their dad's name on the same list as Jeff Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them is Bananas for Bone, so.
Sure, cool. That's really cool. That is really, really cool. With the Ineffables, because the topics vary so very much, mm-hmm. you know, I think in the first 3 issues, I think it was issue 2 or maybe it was issue 1. I'm not sure. Carl Jung is mentioned, and there's a deep, like,
yes.
psychological, yes. like, slash philosophical underline to the plot. So my question is, do you do a lot of research when you start kind of looking at some of these topics that are a little bit out there?
I don't know if I, bring home a stack of books from the library right. when I'm trying sure. to, compose my next issue, but... I do read a lot.
Okay.
And I try to read a lot of different things. Okay. And there's generally my writing process is there's this stew in my head of, 1,000 different ideas or things I've seen or whatever. Mm-hmm. And a couple of things will coalesce. And okay, that's something that I can take in this direction. I'll do that for my next comic, that sort of thing.
Okay. Can we talk about the writing process for a minute? Because this is one of the things I'm always curious about with comic book creators. Do you have a method for figuring things out? Do you rough draft things out like you're going to write them? Or like I know, for an example, Adam Fields has this very unique post-it note type of way in which he organizes things. Wow. How do you?
I am nowhere near that organized.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I'll generally get the notion of what the plot or the premise.
Okay.
of a particular story is going to be.
Okay, so you start with the plot. This is the main idea, and then you kind of work out from
and
there.
And I'll start... let me back up a little. I'll start drawing, when I have the complete story, then I'll go back over and do the scripting and all that. But frequently, I'll have, my brilliant idea for what I want the central idea mm-hmm. of the story to be, or, whether it's a point to be made or a gag or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll know where I want it to end, what I want the conclusion of it to be.
Okay.
And I'll start drawing then. Okay. And I'll have point A, and I know what point C is going to be, and I just hope that I figure out point B by the time I get to those pages.
Okay.
And it seems to have worked for me up till now.
So, do you have a new issue of the Ineffables coming out soon?
I actually am... focusing on publishing my work online through Patreon.
Yes, which we'll talk. You know what? Let's talk about it right now. It's okay. On the list of questions here, but you, because we talked at Space that you joined Patreon, mm-hmm. and how's that experience been for you?
It's actually been very nice so far. Okay. I had a demoralizing experience at one of the bigger conventions recently.
Okay.
At the beginning of this year.
Okay.
You know, where I set up my table, but I'm you know, trying to sell my original comics, and I'm surrounded by all the guys that are just selling the prints.
Yeah.
You know, that you can tell are obviously lifted from other people's artwork, or there's the wall of just faces or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I see mm-hmm. people that come in and probably never read comics. You know, they've come to the characters through the movies or the cartoons or the TV shows or whatever. And they're the ones that seem to be filling the comic shows now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones dropping the money at the prints, you know,
sure.
the pictures of faces. Yeah. And it felt like, you know, the you know, the guys on Artist Alley that are trying to make their own original comics are kind of getting crowded out of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find a different way, a different outlet to show my work. And a musician friend of mine had just recently signed on to Patreon himself.
Mm-hmm.
Following his example, I, you know, decided to give it a try.
Okay.
So I got the Patreon, you know, all fired up and everything. And within the first month, I didn't get a lot of patrons.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that signed up were signing up at levels that do cover, you know, when I print a book.
Okay. So they were kind of top, yeah. upper tier, not in on the ground
floor. A couple upper tier enough.
Yeah, sure.
Well, the way I'm publishing through the Patreon now is I put the online comics up over the course of the year, and then once a year I'm going to put out a collected volume.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
And that will, you know, the Patreon contributions are definitely going to cover that collected volume each year.
So what are some of the challenges to doing this on Patreon, you know, rather than the old school method? You go to a con and, you know.
Oh, just the schedule, just the pace.
Okay.
As I said before, there were always conventions around Columbus
mm-hmm.
that you could, you know, plan your comic production around. Mm-hmm. You know, Space is in the spring. You know, okay, I got to have a book ready for that. You know, there's a convention in the fall. I got to have one ready for that. You know, Gem City, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pick your shows and, you know, plot out when you're going to have material ready for those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through the Patreon, I've pretty much promised that I'm going to produce 8 to 12 pages a month.
Oh.
Which for a, you know, small yeah. press self-publisher with a day job can be a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt. But it's been successful, though, to this date. It's been
as far. I'm about 7 or 8 months into it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. And you know what? I got to be honest. Is there any other independent comic book creators doing it this way?
I haven't researched that myself. I can't imagine that there are not, but
yeah, I mean, I imagine there's got to be people doing it that way, but you were the first person that I was like, wait a minute, because I have researched it myself for podcasting, and I know there's lots of podcasters that do a Patreon, and you know, I know there's other individuals like especially people that are into cosplay that do a lot of that with Patreon, mm-hmm. but I just never thought or never even, it never entertained the idea.
I'd be delighted if I was the first, put it that way. So.
Well, there you go. Your name can be on another list.
All right.
So let's talk about a couple of other projects.
Okay.
And first of all, you have Allied Powers.
I do.
Which is kind of a throwback, if you will.
It is. The Ineffables is a special kind of book that requires sort of a special kind of mindset to be writing.
Sure,
and every now and then I want to take a break from that and step back. Allied Powers, that was my go at just a regular World War II superhero kind of book. Nothing with any more depth than that.
It's fighting Nazis.
It's
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I had my my cast of superhero characters.
Sure.
And I tried to base storylines around lesser known historical figures.
Okay. Such as?
At the time, the Allied Powers goes back several years.
Okay.
But at the time, the Bielski brothers, which were the guys that essentially kept a colony of Jewish refugees hidden in the woods in their own little community.
Oh,
With Nazis all around them, but they had
They were self-sufficient.
They were self-sufficient. Yeah,
yeah. I remember this. I just didn't know the name.
There was a Daniel Craig movie about them about a year after I wrote that story.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's where that's clicking. Like, okay. I'm like, I've heard of this somewhere. Yeah. Okay. And I couldn't think of it as history class or, in this instance, Hollywood. Thanks, Hollywood.
Yeah. So I wrote that one, and actually a friend of mine, Brent Bowman, who was with me in a group called Panel, which we can touch upon in a bit.
Sure.
I asked him to illustrate it because my own style is very cartoony, and I wanted something a bit more, you know, straightforward with, you know, superhero flair or whatever.
Sure.
And,
yeah,
his style fits that. So we've gotten about, I think, 4 issues into that, and he keeps getting paid gigs. So, well, I hope to add some more issues of that in the future, but, you know, for his sake, maybe we can let that wait for a while.
Another one, Cosmos Simeon.
Yes, that's much more recent. And
let's talk about that one, because that's another unusual one, with all due respect.
Yeah.
You know, it's a time-traveling cosmonaut monkey.
It is. This one, it's another one of those where I needed to step back and do something different than the Ineffables flavor.
Okay.
And I had just read a stack of Devil Dinosaurs by Jack Kirby.
Oh, yeah.
And decided I want to do something like this for a little bit. So Cosmos Simeon is about a time-traveling Soviet cosmonaut gorilla that battles space dinosaurs. It's, you know, set in prehistory, and there's these I have T-Rexes with their tiny little arms holding rifles. And, you know, Cosmos Simeon has a hammer and a sickle that work like Thor's hammer or whatever. And it's supposed to be very bombastic and loud and just adventuresome. I've gotten, 3 issues into that. And actually, the next Patreon book was going to be more Cosmos Simeon. So that'll be showing up on Patreon as well.
Cool.
And that one I envisioned maybe, you know, having 8 separate issues and collecting that onto its own.
Okay.
To get that out of my system. So.
Yeah. The Philip Fox Band, which is a steampunk Western.
It is. Philip Fox is actually the musician I mentioned earlier.
Who signed on
to Patreon himself.
So do you know a lot about the subculture of steampunk, or did you
not,
have
no,
to?
No, very little. No.
Very little. Yeah. You had to read a lot on that
one. I've watched a lot of Wild Wild West. That's all I know about steampunk, which actually should be enough. that's what I was kind of aiming at with the Philip Fox Band comic. Now, he had his band, and they toured relentlessly. They were like coast to coast.
Okay.
You know, 60 gazillion shows a year or whatnot.
Wow.
And I met him because my future wife was a huge fan.
Okay.
So that's how we started showing up at his shows and started interacting with him. And he gave me a call one day because he had the idea to have the equivalent of a Kiss comic.
Sure.
To sit on their merch tables at all their shows. So I said, okay.
Yeah.
And I produced that for him, just a one shot that's, you know, his band in the Old West fighting a crazed time traveler or whatnot.
How was it received at the concerts, when folks said, have you gotten any feedback, how it's been received?
A little bit, because I didn't tour with them.
I asked that question
I did see a few of the fans, you know, posting on their website.
Sure. I think that sometimes when you do that cross promotion, sometimes that's tricky. I spoke to some folks that were doing a comic, and they were taking the independent pro wrestling shows, and they said, even though it's very kind of bombastic and over the top too, as you said, to borrow your phrasing, it didn't sell well. Like, it sold well everywhere else they took it. Comic book shows, comic book stores.
I don't know that it flew off the table for them.
Right. But, you know, so I was just curious. I was just curious how that works. They said, they stopped doing it because it really didn't, you know, it really didn't help, with sales. But, last one that I have here, and you talk about taking a break from different things here. Yeah. You did a book called Dirty Cop.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
I did my research, Greg.
You did. All right. Dirty Cop has a long story behind it.
Oh, my. Well, we have plenty of time.
Okay.
It is a mature book. Let's throw that out there. It's got some content that may not be suitable for all ages.
All right. Now we have to go back and cover panel, though.
So sure. Let me go back and talk about panel. All right. Yeah, okay.
No, for many years, I was a member of a collective of small press writers and artists based here in Columbus mm-hmm. called Panel.
Right, which Darren Araghi was part of. Correct. Yeah. Brent Bowman, Tom Williams.
Mm-hmm. Andy Bennett.
Yes, Andy Bennett. Yeah. I'm trying to think of everybody. I'm sure I'm forgetting a bunch, and I apologize. I'll do this. Yeah, okay. Yep.
So... and we would release anthologies mm-hmm. twice yearly based around those aforementioned conventions, and each one with a different theme. Concurrent with that, there was a time that in the early 2000s that I had an epiphany about some of the comics I was reading. You know, I was picking up issues of Spider-Man and Superman that a lot of adult material was creeping into.
Okay.
And that just rubbed me the wrong way.
You know? Okay.
Because I'm not opposed to adult comics at all, but I just don't think that if you're gonna make your adult comics, make your original characters or whatever. Don't drag Batman and Spider-Man into them.
Okay, it's just I was
bringing home a regular issue of the Amazing Spider-Man, and it was one that I would never be able to share with my hypothetical kid down the road.
Sure,
was a bit disappointing.
Okay.
And that became a bit of a soapbox for me, such that I'm sure everyone in panel was very tired of hearing me go on about it. So I'm a member of panel for years, and we get to panel 10. And it had always been a joke leading up to that. Panel 10, Roman numeral X.
Mm.
We're going to do panel X. That'll be the adult comic.
Yeah.
And so we were at Space, having just done panel 9. And Dara actually, came up to me. We're still talking about doing this panel X. Is that something you'd actually want, something to do with? And I just had to laugh like, yeah, don't misunderstand me, So I felt I had something to prove.
Okay.
For panel X. So I wrote a short story with a character called Dirty Cop.
Okay.
And I did my best to craft a kind of story that Garth Ennis would find excessive.
Yes!
So, and it had an impact, I guess.
With that, did you it all came from your mind, or did you pull from, because there's been a lot of different stories and movies mm-hmm. and TV shows of the Dirty Cop. Did you pull some of those out?
It was all what you
came up with in your own mind.
I'm saddened and horrified to say that, yes, it was all me. But after that, it was sort of a running gag that when are we going to do a sequel to this?
Okay.
So...
Did you find it easy to write, or was it...
I found it easy to write. It was all done in a humorous vein.
Okay.
It wasn't anything
serious
sure. or overtly disturbing or anything
sure.
like that.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So after a certain number of years, panel actually kind of drifted apart.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good run of about 10 or 12 years, but life got in the way for several people, including myself at the
sure.
time.
Sure.
And then a couple years ago, I just got the notion. I, got in touch with several of the artists and said, if I knock together a script for a full length Dirty Cop book, would you guys like to illustrate a chapter? And everybody said yes.
All right.
So yeah, Dirty Cop is the panel reunion book, but everyone asked that their names be left off the credits. I am quite proud of it, but you're not going to find it on the website. You're going to have to catch me at one of the shows for that one. So that's the story of Dirty Cop.
That is a fantastic story, Craig. Okay. That was awesome. Oh man. So let's talk about a couple of new projects coming up here anytime soon. We talked a little bit about them here and there, but anything we didn't touch on in terms of projects?
Well, just that in time for Space this spring, I should have a Mystery City Comics trade paperback available okay. for collecting all the Patreon stuff from the past year.
Okay.
That'll be Ineffable Stories, Cosmo Simeon, and okay. there's so far has been even a steampunk short story
in
there too.
Okay.
Also, I was actually just thinking to myself earlier today, I need to get back in touch with the panel guys because we had discussed at the last convention that I do have another idea, not for Dirty Cop, but
something different.
Another story that if I can knock together a script, if they'd be interested in. And at the time they said yes, but I need to touch base with them. But if all systems are go on that, then there may be another panel collaboration in the spring. We'll see.
All right. So you are always at Space, correct?
Yes.
Have you ever missed a?
I may have missed one or two,
but yeah, you're always there. Yeah. Correct. What do you enjoy most about space?
Oh, it is just a wonderful venue. I mean, to have something like that here in town, it's literally almost right around the corner from where I live each year. That allows me that outlet where I can be able to present my work to so many people, and then also prowl the aisles and see other people that are, are doing the same sorts of things.
Bob does a great job. Just going to give more credit to Bob Corby. He does a great job of putting on Space every single year. And folks, if you're listening and you've heard me mention Space millions of times,
go to Space.
You need to go to Space sometime. It's a fantastic independent comic book celebration, if you will. So
I just nodded like the microphone could hear that.
Yeah, so. Well, that's okay. I've done air quotes all the time. Nobody all can see them. It's okay, Craig. It's fine. what advice would you give to somebody that wants to get into self-publishing and creating their own comics?
Just do it. That's really
sound advice.
Yeah, honestly, that's just it. There have been so many times I've been at a show and someone's sat their portfolio down in front of me and can you take a look at my artwork and tell me what you think and blah blah blah, and it's like, man, the only difference between me and you is that I paid for this table.
Do you find that awkward?
I do.
Folks?
I do.
Okay, because I was going to ask.
I know what I do, and I know how I want to express myself. I don't know what advice I would give to somebody else in that capacity or anything like that.
And art is subjective. I mean, let's just be honest too. I mean, depending on I feel like if somebody does that, they're presenting their perspective of things, which may not necessarily agree with what your perspective is. And while I'm sure there are people that certainly very accomplished artists that can probably give a technical breakdown of what is right and wrong, I don't know. I think that's awful tricky and weird. And you know what I mean? I think it is. But I agree with you with do it. I've said it before, people say, how do you start a podcast? You just do it. Just do it. Make all kinds of mistakes. Just screw things up, but do it.
Well, and then there's that old saying that everyone's got their 1,000 terrible pages in them before they get to the good one.
Right. Right.
You've just got to plow through those and put them out for people to see. And there's no other way to do it except that.
So. Yeah, that's definitely it. Do you have any upcoming appearances or events or conventions you're going to be at?
I'm going to be at Genghis Khan in November in Cleveland.
How is that show, may I ask? I've heard lots of people go up there.
I've been to one before, two years ago. And it was very good for us.
Cool. Other appearances? I know we're winding down.
We're getting near the end of the year,
towards the end of the year where there's not a lot happening. But
I've already booked for Space in the spring, of course, but no, there are none on my calendar at the moment. I believe my wife actually keeps track of that.
She's your business manager, so to
actually
speak?
She is. Yeah. Okay. I do hope to get into a cycle where I'm doing 3 to 5 shows a year, something like that. So.
Yeah. Speaking real quick of the family, does your family help out with the creative endeavors, proofread? Do you run ideas past them and they go, "No, Dad, that sounds awful," or "Yay, Dad, that's great."
There have been times when I've been crunching a deadline where I'll have the three kids sitting around me with their Sharpies helping to fill in blacks on pages, certainly. my wife actually, hi Mindy, actually does the lettering on my comics now.
Oh,
too.
Really?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So it is a family affair.
It is, yeah.
There you go. Well, hey, why not? Why not? How are they on coloring? The kids doing all right with that?
Well, I just said filling in blacks.
Okay, so
one of them does have a little trouble staying in the lines, but I can work around that.
That's all right.
Yeah, and actually, I should give some credit here. The covers of my books, usually I have Brent Bowman do the coloring on those. Mm-hmm. I'll draw them and he'll color them. So if you're seeing one of my comics, likely the coloring job is a Brent Bowman. So
there you go. There you go. Places where folks can find you on the internet.
I would point them first towards the Patreon site, which is patreon.com/MysteryCityComics.
There you go.
And there's your several different levels of engagement.
Can we talk about a few of the levels of engagement? Absolutely. What can folks do, like, if they are interested in becoming a patron?
Okay. For a mere $1 a month, you can get access to those 8 to 12 pages each month. Mm-hmm. Of new comic material. So essentially you're reading it as an online comic. For $3 a month, every 2 months, those 16 to 24 pages are collected into an ebook with a color cover.
Okay.
So you'll get essentially a download of a complete issue.
Oh, cool. Cool.
And then for the $6 tier, that will get you the printed trade paperback.
Oh, okay.
Once a year.
Okay.
Let's see. Next would be the $15 tier, which gets you all that other stuff. Plus, every 6 months, I'll do a commission of one of my original characters.
Oh, okay. Cool. Cool. So you can have a little piece of artwork hanging in your house.
Yeah, 11 by 17 Bristol with pencil and ink and all that. And the $25 tier is commission of any character, any comic book character, not necessarily one of my own. Okay. I just did a Tank Girl a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I just saw that was on TV not too long ago.
Oh, was it?
Comet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, Tank Girl.
Yeah, that commission was a bit of a surprise. Yeah.
I haven't thought about that movie nor comic book in a while. And I'm like, wow, there's a blast from the past. Old Tank Girl. well, you also have MysteryCityComics.net, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, and that's got all of your contact info and your news and store and
where
everything
I can
else
be found.
It.
And okay.
Any social media? Like, you have Facebook, correct?
I have Facebook, yes.
It's Mystery City Comics?
It is.
Yep. Are you on Twitter or Instagram? Or
I have not yet dragged myself into the 21st century in those respects, no.
Are you not a fan of social media when you say that, or just...
I wouldn't say I'm not a fan. I just do not yet have that level of engagement,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I gotcha. Well, man, we're getting up to about 40 minutes. Anything else you want to tell the fans that are listening out there, the listeners that are listening?
Oh, nothing else comes to mind that we haven't already covered.
Yeah.
I would just, beg them to head over to that Patreon site to give it a look.
There you go. Definitely head on over there. As you heard Craig say, there's a tier level for whatever dollar amount you feel comfortable giving.
Absolutely.
And help a man out, man. He's got a lot of crazy stories to write about in the Ineffables and Cosmo Simeon and whatnot. So
Dirty Cop will not be appearing.
There's never going to be a Dirty Cop crossover. Are you sure Cosmo Simeon's not going to go to another planet?
I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, on that note, Craig, thanks, man, for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
With that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. So please, stick around.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Mr. Craig Bogart, talking about his book, The Ineffables, Cosmo Simeon, Dirty Cop, Allied Powers, and a whole host of other projects that he is currently working on or will be working on. I was very happy to have Craig reach out to me. We had talked way back at Space and then at Wizard World about him coming on. And, our schedules just didn't match up. And now they did. He came on. I think it was a great episode. And personally, to be honest with you, I feel like I needed a really good episode to come back with, since I had some issues and had to take a week off. Thanks to the stupid computer, but it seems to be fixed. And so we'll knock on wood. Of course, I don't know what the hell this desk is made out of. I don't know if it's really wood or not. But we'll say it's wood. Anyways, knock on wood. Knock on wood, we don't have any more problems. Or I don't have any more problems with the PC, I should say. So with that, I know I've already told you where you can get in touch with me already at the beginning of the episode. But maybe you want to tell somebody about this podcast. Well, there's a couple different ways that they can get their hands on this podcast. They can do so going over to the online home of yours truly, pvdcast.com. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, Libsyn Podcast Player, the Echo Network, just wherever you find podcasts. I'm sure if you type in PVDcast, sometimes PVDcast, and my name, John Orlando, you will find it. So tell some folks about it, if you will. Let's spread the word, all right? Let's spread the word. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe as well. It helps me out. You won't miss an episode. It's a win-win, people. It's a win-win. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank each and every one of you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent.